Let's go to Colossians chapter 2:20. 2:20. In case I missed the announcement, Christmas banquet's coming up this Friday. Just so you'll know, there is no charge for it. It will be here at the church. It will be upstairs. It's going to be a wonderful time of fun and fellowship. So I think it's 7 o'clock, right? 7 o'clock Friday evening. Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if, everyone say if. Well, that's a big word. If ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, then why? Why? If you're dead with Christ from the rudiments or the elements of the world, why, as through the living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men. He asked a very big, bold question. I'm challenging your tradition. Which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom in will worship and humility and the neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Then we go to John chapter 4 and 24. So this Paul is talking to a group of people that are, listen close, they're in the church. They're in the church. This is to the church that is at Colossians. It's a letter he wrote to this group of people. And Jesus is now talking to a sinner woman at the well. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to teach this morning will worship versus real worship. Will worship versus real worship. Amen. Lord, I come before you this morning so thankful for an opportunity, Lord, to be in your house. I'm glad that we all made it here this morning. Some of us saw a terrible accident on the highway. Today, we do pray for those that are involved, Lord, and for the families that will be affected. But we're thankful for our safety today, and we appreciate it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When I see a bad wreck, I always look to see if it's one of ours. And it wasn't, but a terrible accident today. I want to go back and read. This is, again, a Bible study on will worship, your will, and real worship. Let's look at Genesis 3 and 3. It said, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. This is the commandment given to Adam and Eve. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Taste not. Handle not. You partake, you die. Then Psalms 105 and 14, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. So we see on both sides of the equation that God doesn't want you touching me, the world, and he don't want me touching the world. On both sides, he wants us to stay separated. Now, most of you have raised children. And I will promise you, when they start crawling, one of the first three words that a child will learn is, you'll see, don't touch that. Already? Don't touch that. And I've seen so many times parents say, I watched the other day in a restaurant, the little boy turned around touching the blinds at the restaurant, and the mama said, don't touch that. If you touch that one more time, I'm going to tear you up. And she turned around, he went, and she acted like she didn't see. Don't touch that. And parents, many times, see, we did not, and my wife and I raising our two children, and thank God we only had two, but we're thankful we had two. My dad used to say, I'm thankful for my two boys, but I wouldn't give a wooden nickel for another one. That's what he said, a wooden nickel. Not even a real nickel, a wooden nickel. And so, but when we raised our children, we did not house-proof the home. We house-proof the child. We child-proof the child. And we taught the children not to touch things. And And so what we did was we changed their mind about it so that we didn't have to keep shifting things around to satisfy their desire to touch. They learned touching had consequences. And so therefore we had peace and they had peace, because there's always some little things you want to set out there that a two-year-old can't play with, you know. And so I remember one time I was in a store and they had all these little figurines in this little thing, you know, all these real fragile things, real pretty, that you just want to touch them. And the sign said, "Nice to have, nice to hold, but if you drop it, consider it sold." So I just looked at it, because I was afraid if I touched it, I would drop it, because you can't drop what you don't touch. You won't partake of what you don't touch. Right? So touching is this big, it's a big thing. It's just something about, you want to feel the things. I went with my wife to the fabric, and I'm not it wasn't Hobby Lobby, where was it? Hancock Fabrics. But boy, every time I'd pass my fabric, I just had to feel of it. What does that feel like? And every time I left a little bit of me behind, you see, every time I touched it, you know, when someone gets that, what's this oil stain on there? You know, it's going to leave something behind. It's just something about we want to feel it. And truly, we want to feel something in living for God, right? I'd hate to have a salvation. I don't feel anything. I just go to church and I hear a sermon. I go home and I don't feel anything. I want to feel something when I come to church. And even the Lord said that to search after him, if happily you might feel after him. We feel after him that happily we might find him, is what it says. So the Garden of Eden was this beautiful place that was called paradise, and there was nothing unappealing in the garden. Everything was beautiful to touch, everything was beautiful to the sight, and everything was good to eat. Everything, including the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it too was beautiful. He didn't make that tree ugly. If he had made it ugly, you wouldn't have desired it. Right? You wouldn't want to touch it. You say, "Oh, I don't want to touch that." I'm glad. You don't have to tell me not to eat it, Lord. I would never eat that. But he made it just as beautiful as all the other things. It still had an appealing effect to it. And so in the midst of the garden, there was the tree of the life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said, "Now that tree right there, y'all, don't touch it." Because here's what he knew. Because if you touched it, you was going to eat it. If you touch it, you're going to partake of it. And he said, "In the day that you touch it or eat it, you shall surely die." And technically, we could say, well, they could have went up there and just kind of felt it, and they wouldn't have died. And technically, I don't have your answer. But he said, you touch it the day you die, because he knew if they touched it, they would eat it. He knew that once they felt of it, once you touch something, you are now committing to it. Right? And so you and you see how you still got your arm around her. You want to touch her, you know, and pat her on her, yeah, ta-ta and all that. And some of them need more ta-ta than others, but you ta-ta. But remember when you first started dating, you know, and you touched, and both your hands were sweaty and you were both nervous and you touched. But as soon as you touched, there's something goes on the inside. See, this is where I'm going with that. There's something that when you touch it on the outside, it does something on the inside, and it just felt right. So touch is so important in life. And so it was enticing for Eve to want to touch it. She already had the desire on the inside to touch it. She already had the desire on the inside to taste it. And all she needed was somebody to encourage her to touch it. And so the serpent was there to encourage her. And he's the master of encouraging you to do what you already want to do. If you don't want to do it, he can't make you do it. But if there's something in your heart that wants to do it anyway, he's a master at encouraging you to go for it. Oh, it won't hurt. Take a bite. God don't want you to know that you're going to be like him. That's the problem. Well, you know, he may be right. And anytime you entertain these thoughts and you already want to do it anyway, you're a goner. You're a goner. There's just something about touching things that does something on the inside of you. And even the woman that had the issue of blood said, if I can but touch him, I know I will be made whole. It's just something. And she didn't even say touch him. She said touch his clothes. There are some people in this life that are dirty and they're nasty And I don't want to touch them. I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to touch them. I give them a dollar bill and I say, keep the change. I don't even want to touch the change they just touched to give me back. Am I the only one in here like that, or y'all? Yeah. You go shake hands with some people, you can't wait to find a restroom. Is it just me? Okay. Because there's something about it. I feel dirty all over. And all you did was shook my hand, but I feel dirty all over. And maybe they feel the same with me. I don't know. But there's just some nasty people and just some dirty people that once I touch them, even when I see them, it just makes me feel nerdy. It just makes me feel like dirt just to see them. And so sometimes I stay away from things I don't want to touch. Now, I'll tell you another thing I don't like to touch, and y'all know this, wheel-bearing grease. I hate to touch wheel-bearing grease, but I had a wheel-bearing went out. I had to take the tire off. There's no choice. And my hands were, will you want to shake my hand now? But as soon as I do, you'll go wash your hands, I promise you, because you're going to have wheel-bearing grease all over your hand. Some things, even though it's just that, I just feel dirty. I just want to take a bath. And so you have to understand there are some things that are just off limits in living for God. There are just some things that if you participate, if you touch that, if you do that, you're going to feel dirty all over. And when you have that feeling, stay away from those situations. Stay away from those people. Stay away from that atmosphere that feels so condemning to you. So in the Old Testament, there was a lot of thou shalt nots. There was a lot of don't touch, don't taste, don't do this, don't do that. Thou shalt not. In the day you do this, it was a lot of that led to men wondering why. Why? You know, when you tell somebody you can't do something, the next question has one word in it. Why? And sometimes you tell people you can't do something, the more they want to do it. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. But when you touch, in the Bible, when you touched unclean things, you became unclean yourself. That's why he said that a priest could not touch a corpse, a dead thing, an unclean thing, because they became unclean themselves. And, you know, a lot of times I shouldn't share all this stuff with y'all, but I go to Ryan's sometimes. And every time I pick up that handle, I can't watch everybody else get their food because I see them and then grabbing the handle again. I've even seen some kids and stick it back in there. And my appetite goes boop. So sometimes when we go, you know, certain places, I shouldn't have said Ryan's, forgive me, these buffets. I don't want to condemn a place. I shouldn't have said that. Buffets. And so we carry this hand sanitizer. And I said, Jerry, give me some sanitizer. Put some more in there. I mean, I got to lather it up, you know. I just want to feel clean. And so some things you have to work in this world. You have to be in this world. And God's not going to deliver you out of every unclean situation. And so sometimes you just got to do your best to stay clean in a bad situation. And say, this is life. He said, I'm not taking you out of your troubles, but I help you through your troubles. And so this morning, many of you working, I'm glad that I work for myself, so to speak. I feel for you guys that work for other people, with other people, and around the world, day in and day out, because I know it's very difficult. The Bible says that Lot vexed his soul with their day-to-day conversation. That's what it says. It vexed him, listening to them, the way they talked. But we have a devil today, a real devil, that walks around seeking whom he may devour. What that tells me is he can't devour everybody. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, which lets me know that not everybody will be devoured. But what he's looking for is an opportunity to take advantage of your weakness. When you watch lions they will watch a herd of zebra, whatever they want to attack, and what they're looking for is one that does this. What they're looking for is when they take them, they chase them, one that can't keep up. And what they're looking for is that weakness. That's the one he may devour. So you and I must stay, as Paul wrote, vigilant, sober. We must stay awake, and we must protect what is ours. Because if you don't, if you get weakened, you will go through these dry places where it says that the unclean spirit goes out of a man. It goes through dry places, and that's what the devil's looking for, you in a dry place, you in a weakened state, that he may devour you. And it's hard not to be touched by the things of this world. And I understand that, not be affected by the things of this world. But that's why you need church. That's why you need the Bible. That's why you have a prayer closet. This is the place where you can get these things off of you. This is the place where you lather up and say, God, wash me, cleanse me, make me whole. Lord, help me to get over the situation that I went through this week. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. This is why you need other people in the church to call and say, sister, I'm going through something. Just pray for me a little bit. We don't have to even tell me what it is. I just covet your prayers, and we get restored and renewed. Even Peter talked about the times of refreshing that come from the Lord. We all must be refreshed. This is not a one-time experience. Paul said, I die daily, meaning it's an everyday experience. But this was a double commandment. He said, I don't want you touching the world, and I don't want the world touching you. And he said, I told them, don't touch my prophets and do my don't touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Well, let me tell you something. I've heard that so abused by so many ministers, it's unbelievable. Let me tell you who the anointed are. It's you. It's not just the preacher. It's you. It's all of those. Anointing is the Spirit of God. For all of those that have the Spirit of God, you become the anointed of God. And he's telling the devil, he's telling the world, back off, leave them alone. I don't want you touching them. They're on an assignment. I've got a mission for them. But let me tell you, if you touch the world, let me tell you, you are, and we're going to talk about this, you're free to do all things. I am free. You can't stop me from jumping off of this. You can't stop me from getting a ladder and going up there and jumping off. But I'm not free of the consequences. You're free to do it. And you can do all things, my brothers and sisters, but you're not free of consequences. Let's go a little deeper into this, can we? You and I are the vessel of the Holy Ghost, right? The vessel of the Spirit of God. And we've talked about that in a great house. There are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. The vessels in your house, as I've mentioned, you have paper cups in your house and you have probably some finer china that you keep up in a closet somewhere. And when the right person comes along, you get out the fine china. You want to impress them with your china. But when it's just you and your husband there, y'all get out the paper cups. Right? And you throw them away. You don't wash your paper cups and save them. Maybe some of you do, but it's not real sanitary. It's not real sanitary. I'm not eating at your house and drinking out of paper cups then. But it's still a vessel. And there's the same content that's in the paper cup can also be in the golden scepter or a pitcher, right? The same content. The same spirit can be poured into a paper cup as it can be into a silver vase. So God uses them all. So in a great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. The only difference is, he said, if a man will purge himself, he can become a vessel of honor. But I think we all started out paper cups, amen? I think we all, I don't know if we've any reached the status that we need to reach, but I still say, God, use me. I don't want to be a throwaway. I want him to save me. I want him to use me again and again and again versus one time. And so what I'm trying to teach you, it was what's inside of it that he said, don't touch them. It wasn't because they were so holy. It's because what was in them was holy. It wasn't because they were so beautiful. It's because what was in them was so beautiful. It wasn't because they were so righteous. It's because what was in them was so righteous. And if you touch the cup, you can spill what's inside of it. Don't matter if it's gold, silver, or paper. So he said, leave them alone. It's all about the inside of something. Can you say amen? The Bible says when Samuel went to anoint a king, he saw Eliab. He said, "Oh, surely God's anointed is in front of me." Thinking, but he's tall. Why did he think he looked like a king? I'll tell you why. Because he looked like Saul. Saul, if you read the descriptions of the two men, they're almost the same. A big, tall, stately man. And so he thought, "I'm looking for another Saul." And the Lord said, "You're going to miss it. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." He said, "Don't you have any more sons, Jesse?" He said, "I got a little worm out there." He said, "Go get him. Paper cup, if you will." But the paper cup become the golden scepter with the Lord said, "I'll sit on his throne." Hallelujah. I'll sit on his throne. Because what's inside of him is a man that's after God's own heart. And so God protected him. Can you say amen? I mean, David did a lot of wrong. But God protected him even through his wrong because he knew his day would come. He would get better and better and better. And there's many times, even in church and even in this church, there's sometimes some of y'all are not perfect. You're less than perfect. And I'm not telling you I am. But I will protect you and try to help you rather than condemn you and squash you because I know you're not happy with what you did. And I know there's a better day ahead. And if I squash you now and discard you, you'll never be what God wants you to be. So my job is to restore you, to help you, to make it work somehow so God can use you because I don't want to stand in the way of what God wants to do with each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Job had security. He had a hedge around him. And that was one of God's main men. But listen close. The devil came to the Lord and he said, and the Lord said, "Where you been?" He said, "Oh, been going to and fro on the earth." And the Lord said, "Have you considered my man Job?" What was he looking for? Somebody to devour. He said, "Well, I guess he does praise you. Look at him. Houses and land, money, wealth, family. You got a hedge around him." I thank God for the hedge. Hallelujah. He said, "Well, take the hedge down and let me do what? Touch him. Let me touch him. And if I touch him, then I can devour him. He'll curse you to your face. Just let me touch him." He said, "You can touch all he's got but his own life." Even touched his own body, his own health. Job broke out in sores. And the dogs licked his sores. But still, he said, "I will not curse the Lord." Woman, you're silly. You talk like a silly woman. Curse God and die. Shall I curse the one that made me? And there was something inside of Job, even though the devil had touched him, he knew in whom his Redeemer liveth. He knew that his Redeemer was alive. He knew that he had hope in Christ to come, in a life to come. Job sat down one day and even looked at a stump that had been cut off. In all of his misery and all of his dilemma, he looked at a stump and it was cut off. And out from the edges of the stump came these little pretty tender shoots. You know how it is. You cut something off it. And he thought of the resurrection. He said, "Shall a man live again when he is cut off and he falls?" He said, "All my expected days shall I wait till my day comes. I may be cut off now, but let me tell you, you can't stop the new growth." Hallelujah. I may be cut off now, but there's still life inside of that stump. And God is the one that will give me the growth. You may cut me down, but he's going to give me new growth. Hallelujah. And so Mr. Job held on to living for God all of his days. And God gave him double for all of his troubles. Now, let me go just a slightly deeper before we run out of time this morning. I never have enough time. Let me siphon through some of this. Okay, I want to talk to you about the doctrine, before I close, of all things. We're still talking about will worship and real worship. Because in will worship, it is all about your will, your rules, and everybody conforming to you. Let me tell you, I thought about this the other day. the biggest problem we all have of working with other people is they don't do it the way you do it. And when they don't do it the way you do it, it's not right. You got to do it the way I do it. I'm telling you. And that's why people don't get along with each other, because you got to do it the way I do it. And if you don't do it the way I do it, it can't be right, because this is the way I do it. And so, I'll preach over here. And so we have to be flexible in order to be usable, right? Anything usable must be flexible, or God can't use it. You're too rigid. That's why he said, I can't put new wine in old bottles, because it'll break the bottle. You're not flexible. And there's a lot of new things God wants to do, but tradition won't let him. Too stuck in tradition. Traditions of men, not traditions of God. There's good traditions, there's bad traditions. But will worship is when you try to make up rules to satisfy your own agenda. And you begin to worship the rules. We don't do that over here. Bless God, we don't do that. And you begin to worship the rules rather than worship him. So that we have in our text, we have a church that has got the taste not, handle not, don't do this, don't do that. They got all of that. And Paul says, wait a minute. Why are we subject to this? When he says the ordinances of men was nailed to his cross. So if we be dead with Christ, I'm not saying that what you're doing is not right or wrong, but why are you making everybody else do what you do? Because he looked around and he saw some was eating meat and some were not. Because that meat used to be offered to idols. Pork. Had some yesterday with deer sausage. It's good. And he said, so some of them were going, oh, we have a law. We are Jews and we do not eat pork. That is unclean. We do not eat that. Touch not, handle not, taste not. All will perish to the using. And Paul's going, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that we can have all things. And this is where I'm going to close. We can have all things through Christ. All things become mine. So he said, now, brothers, just so you're not in the wrong and you believe the way I believe, because it was a split division, a division among the people. He said, I will eat no meat as long as I live. Even though I don't agree with you on that, or you, or you, or you, I'd rather not offend you, because the Bible holds me accountable if I offend a brother for their loss. So meat's not that important to me, Paul said, so I just keep eating venison and I'll leave the pork alone. So he was flexible. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is, I don't care if it's a person, a church, a couple, if you're too rigid, it will break. It won't last. It's got to be flexible so that I don't want to offend you on that. And many of you have told me different times that I hope I didn't offend this one. That's beautiful, because we're not supposed to offend each other. Even though they may be in the wrong, you could be in the wrong by offending them. So Paul lets us know that I am free to do all things. So I want to talk to you a few minutes about the doctrine of all things. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. Say, it's mine. Now, Daffy Duck says, mine, mine, all mine. It's mine. Whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all, A-L-L, is yours. And ye are Christ possessive, and Christ is God's possessive. What it is saying is Christ was God's anointed, and you are God's anointed. And the anointing can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Wow. So we must understand this doctrine of all things, because all things were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing created that was created. And he gave us all things. John 3:34 says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, and God giveth not his spirit by measure unto men." Lord, you can get as much of the Spirit as you want. The Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and abradeth not." You can be as smart as you want to be, as wise as you want to be, simply by asking, "God, give me wisdom." The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. All things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus said. Therefore said I, he that shall take of mine, and I shall shew it unto you, or give it unto you. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before. He is before all things, and by him do all things consist. And that's why Paul could write things like the scripture that we love to quote in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And such were some of you, but you are washed. You are washed. You are washed. You're washed. You're washed. The paper cup you don't wash. Ye are washed and you're sanctified, meaning you're set apart. He's going to use you again. If he sanctifies you, it means he's going to use you again. You are washed and you are sanctified and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful. Now here's the catch. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That's why he said, "Yeah, I can eat that meat and not my conscience not bother me. I'll go to sleep at night and it ain't going to bother me at all. But what will bother me is if I offend you." So it's just not expedient for me to make a big deal about this. Because if I make a big deal about this, then it's going to cause more harm than I can do good. Can anybody vouch and say some people can take the little thing and make a, they call it drama, I think. Drama. That's not, you know, they got these patches that you put on your drama mean, you know, they. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. I'm not going back into bondage of handle not, taste not. I'm not going to be brought under the power. I'm going to do this because I want to do it. I desire to do it. Real worship is from the heart. Will worship is from the thoughts of carnal minds. Real worship is when the creature worships his creator. When you look at the worship in the Bible, it was men that had devils in them. It was blind folks. Real worship is not predicated upon whether you finished high school or you didn't finish high school, what color you are, how long your hair is, what your dress is. It's not predicated upon that. Real worship is when anybody begins to praise and lift up the Creator. And last time I checked, he inhabits the praises of his people. Real worship is not about you, how good you are, how great you are, how good your hair looks this morning, what kind of clothes you have on, what kind of car you drive. It's not about that. That is a form of will worship. Oh, I'm so blessed. Look at the car I drive. Well, how do you think the other guy feels when he can't drive a car like that? Oh, God just blessed me with this wonderful job. Well, that's good. I'm glad he did. But what about him? So what happens is when you do that, you begin to compare yourselves among yourselves. And the Bible says, that's not wise. So when we worship together as one voice so that it doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter. 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 Only thing that matters is I am wanting to lift him up. I want to lift his name up. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the one that gave me life and breath and got me out of bed this morning. That's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about all the tan or not taste light and all of this kind of stuff. Those things have places. But let me tell you, if that becomes the worship, then what happens is it becomes a will worship. And you start worshiping that. And I'm afraid many of our churches have been based upon that. You show me somebody, I can tell you where they go to church. They go to so-and-so. They go to so-and-so. Why? Because they're lining up to the ordinances of that. Here's what we line up to right here. Here's what we line up to right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Because let me tell you, if your heart is not in this thing, I can't make your heart in it. But if your heart is in this thing, you know what? I don't want to touch that. Even though I could, it's not good. Even though I know it may be okay, but I don't want to. And if you'll obey the leading of your heart, hallelujah, then you'll be in harmony with God and man. The Bible says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, his enemies are at peace with him. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. I hope you got something out of this. Let's do real worship this morning. Hallelujah. Not will worship, real worship this morning. Brother Cole Weeks and his wife will be ministering to us in the second half, so let's get behind them as they preach this morning. Take a quick break and we'll be back for morning worship.